Hope everybody is doing well, and thank you so much for being here. We are in for a treat. Brother Randy Williams will be preaching tonight and leading our Bible study as the kids are in Kids for Christ, and the youth are in the youth department with Brother Simeon. And I know it's a special night when friends we haven't seen in a long time come and are able to come and hear Brother Randy's very first time leading the Bible study. So you are all in for a treat. We're going to start our service with one of Brother Randy's requests, number 575, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Please stand as we start our service, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms of Christ.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. On the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Good evening. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for another wonderful day, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for being in our lives each and every day, Lord. Lord, we're going through troubled times in our world right now, and you know everything is going on. And Lord, as Christians and other people, we need to quit pointing fingers at other people and point to you, Jesus. You're the true Savior of our world, Lord. We need everyone to come to you and know you as our Savior. As Christians, we also need to hit our knees and pray. We can show the nation that in a world that prays, all will be well. Lord, let's ask you to be with Brother Randy tonight as he brings us our message tonight, Lord. Lord, I've known him for several years now, and I've watched him grow more and more in you, Lord. It's wonderful things you're doing in his life. Lord, you're tugging on his heart, and he's responding to your tugs. This is another reason why he's here tonight, Lord. Lord, let's ask you to be with a Bible message, and let it come from you through him, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You want to wave tonight?
I'm sorry, what day of the week it is? You may be seated. Thank you so much. I keep forgetting. Man, this part is getting tougher and tougher. Just kidding. It is a privilege to be here. I have been able to speak with Pastor and Bev, and they are enjoying their time away. They are already making their way back down from northern Michigan. So as you can imagine, they went all the way where 75 almost ends. And they have already started their turnaround, but they're enjoying that time of literally watching the grass grow. But as we keep reminding that our in-service, in-person meetings will continue this Sunday, Lord willing, at 8:30 and 10:30. As people are calling and inviting, we have enough space and we are able to keep our distance. Remember that we're only streaming the 10:30 service. And so that way it gives us a chance to get the kinks out of the first one and be ready for the 10:30. But every week we are having folks visit And every week we're reaching out and touching new families and new faces. And so invite. Don't be afraid to do that. Share a text and share the services. They're easily to be done. And so we're excited for that. Also remember that the junior church will continue this Sunday at 10:30 only. So that will be from nursery all the way through fifth grade. And so as the workers are able to minister and be of service, and certainly we can have that. Brother Joey has been very, very busy leading the projects around the building. Lord willing, the fire sprinkler is just about done. We're just making it look pretty. So the balcony is closed. The bathrooms up front are closed because the work that they're finishing up with the ceilings are being done as we speak. And so they took a break so that we can have service tonight. But continue to pray for that. Obviously, the rain is always around the corner and is slowing us down on the parking lot project. But praise the Lord. The Lord continues to supply, and we cannot forget the need that we have there. And so do remember that we do have online giving available as well as giving in person. But we praise the Lord for those opportunities. And then for the men, I just want to remind that at the end of the month, July 25th, if the Lord permits, our plan is to have an Amen's men's breakfast on the 25th of the month of July. And that will start at 9 a.m. And so if there's a friend, a co-worker that will accept the invitation to come, Brother Ben will lead us at that time, and it'll be a fantastic time of being together and enjoying that fellowship. Several prayer requests were shared as we were preparing for the service today. I know that Brother Neely also passed on some prayer requests, and Mary Hertel, she is a prayer warrior, and she is asking prayer for her friend Brian, who has suffered a stroke. And so she asked for prayer for him. Then also just a praise for Barbara Churchill, that her health is improving, as well as a prayer request that came in for Miss Tina having surgery on her foot. And so praying for recovery there. Then also Miss Judy Dulligite. Miss Judy is just a trooper. And Miss Judy is sitting in the back. I know she's hating me right now for pointing her out. But that lady is tough, but yet she is faithfully going through her chemo and radiation treatments. Continue to pray for her, please, and pray for her witness as she's having an opportunity to invite and share the gospel. Then before the service, I was asked to pray for a Miss Renee, who is in the hospital with slurred speech, and praying for her salvation as well. And so we ask the Lord to intervene there. And then also Miss Isabel Bias, it's her birthday today. If you happen to know her, reach out to her. But she asked the church to pray. She's having a biopsy the 20th of July. And so she's coveting our prayers in that way and asking the Lord to intervene. And I do want to share also that Roxana Patterson is here. Brother Patterson went home to be with the Lord on Monday night. And I know he had fought a long fight. And right now the plans are to have the body buried in a Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And so that will take place on Monday. And then the viewing will be the day before in that vicinity of Columbia, South Carolina. And then we will be scheduling a memorial service here at church. And so we will have that date hopefully soon, and then that way we can plan accordingly. But if you knew Brother Scott and you know how we've been praying for him, especially at this service, continue to pray for the family. Continue to pray for the kids, Abby and Philip. I've known him since he was yay high. Sorry. But pray for them and continue to uplift them to the Lord in prayer. That's when they need their church family. And I appreciate Roxana sharing that the church family has gone above and beyond. But continue to pray for her in these days that are ahead as they honor Brother Scott in the way that they want to. Before the next song, if we can go to the Lord in prayer and prepare our hearts for the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege it is to come before you. Lord, we thank you that you are a prayer answering God. And Lord, I know that our hearts are broken for the Patterson family. We know that Brother Scott faithfully served you, faithfully fought with his disease. And Lord, right now he's rejoicing. He's not limping. He is jumping for joy in the streets of gold. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege it is to know that our eternal salvation is secure in you. It's not based on anything that we can do of our own or any merit, but Lord, simply a gift that we can only receive through the work of your Son that took place on that cross. Father, thank you that today Brother Scott is no longer in pain. But Lord, I pray for Miss Roxanne, and I pray for Abby, and I pray for Philip, that Lord, and that you would just comfort their hearts. I know that the days will be difficult, but yet, Lord, we know the memory, the laughter, we know the joy that you can provide, and the memories can remind us of Brother Scott. Lord, I remember him like yesterday. It was about 10 years ago when we were down in Haiti, and anything he could do, he would, and whatever he could give, he would give it. And Lord, I just pray that that you would help us remember him in that way. Help us remember him in with his joy and his laughter. And that, Father, that we would honor that memory in a great way. Lord, I praise you for answering Miss Barbara's prayer request and for just intervening in her life mightily. I thank you, Lord, for Miss Judy and the grace and the strength that you're giving her to not only be going through chemo and treatments, but faithfully coming to the house of God. Lord, thank you for the testimony that she is to her friends and neighbors. And that, Lord, that you would use her life as a testimony, Lord, of the grace of God in her life. Lord, be with her family as well. And Lord, that you would just continue to use her to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Lord, I also ask for Miss Tina, Father, that you would help her in her recovery. And Lord, we ask for Isabel, Miss Bias, Lord, that you would just intervene with the tests and procedures that she has coming up. And Lord, I ask for Miss Renee that as we intervene in prayer, that Lord, that your grace would just calm her, that Father, that you would return her speech, that Father, that she would receive the gift that only Christ can provide and calm her anxieties. Lord, I just pray that you would also answer the prayer requests, the unspoken prayer requests that are represented here. Father, that you would also give us the boldness and the courage to be use of you. So often are we finding ourselves in conversations that no one could ever plan. And Father, I just pray that you would allow us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit to answer them, not according to our opinion, not according to what we feel, but Father, according to thus saith the Lord. And Father, your word promises us that that the comfort of the Holy Spirit will remind us of those things that we have learned of you. Father, that we would rest upon that assurance, that we would be use of you, that we would be guided by you, and that you would enable us to simply give you honor and glory. Lord, I love you, and I thank you, Father, for Brother Randy. Lord, he's been a friend to me as a deacon in our church, as a Sunday school teacher. But Lord, now we get to hear him just open your word and just allow us to be challenged from it. Father, I pray that you would use him to encourage our hearts, to challenge our hearts, and Father, that that when we leave tonight, we could say that it is good to be in the house of God. Meet with us in a great and powerful way, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, if we can stand and sing Day by Day, number 718, Day by Day, as Brother Rod leads us, please rise.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each heart. All my cares, he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As your days, your strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose that face with consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, there to take us from our Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. You may be seated.
Good evening. I'm so happy to be here tonight. I guess this is where you hold on. It's been a wonderful, busy week. A very busy week. And I'm so thankful to be here. Mine was just moving on Scott Patterson and thinking about it, that he's present with the Lord right now. That's what we look forward to. That's what we place our faith in, is the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to speak tonight and share with you what the Lord has had laid on my heart. My name is Randy Williams, as you know. I have three boys, Kasan, Casey, and Cruz. I didn't get the little girl, but that's okay. I'm all right. I have a wonderful, lovely, caring, giving, special wife. I have in my notes here to just give more adjectives. And Joni and I have been attending this church for about 15 years. Casey, I think Kasan was in his diapers, and now he's 15. It's wow. And I have the pleasure of being married to an English major. And she's probably silently correcting my grammar as we speak. And I'll get an update and an email later. As I mentioned, Ruben said, I'm also a deacon here at the church, serving. I love to be used in the choir or in Sunday school, and I just love serving. When we serve together, we grow together. And so I'm very excited about doing that and hopefully getting back to a normal service, and so that we can spend time learning about the Lord Jesus more and more. One of the tremendous blessings that I found at this church when we first came here is the sound preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It drew us in. And I'm so thankful how God has used pastor in our lives to deliver the word of God. I don't take it for granted. And I remember Joni and I, we just got married, and we were living at our mom's house. You know, that's how you start off. And we were at our mom's house for about 2 years. And I remember saying to my mom, "Mom, I think we should put a little crown molding right here, or maybe a fan here." And I remember my mom looking at me with loving, gracious eyes. And she said, in Jamaican, she said, "Do," meaning, "Please, find a place." Heart-wrenching. I'm the baby of the family. I didn't expect that. And we started to move and go into a different direction. And my mom came the next day with the flyer. You remember the flyer? She said, listen, someone's renting here. And we ended up going there. We actually ended up buying the place. We still have it today. And I look back and see how Lord is just working in our lives. And my brother said, you need to find a good church. And I said, okay. Pastor Tom was the youth pastor of First Baptist of Coconut Creek. And I remember him as Tom. I didn't know that he was pastoring a church. So he said, Tom is there and you need to go to the church. So I said, okay. I went by there. Pastor invited me to basketball. Pastor loves sports. He loves basketball. And we went out and played a little bit or so. And I got to stop right there and tell you that our pastor was a tremendous shooter. Great basketball player. I love to try to defend him, and he's very competitive. And we had a lot of fun, and from there we've been here ever since, learning and growing. And as we have listened over the years, I believe our spiritual maturity has grown in our Christian walk. And I want to talk about that today. The title of this lesson tonight is A Stable Build in an Ever-Changing World. Say that again. I know you have it up there, but hey, a stable build in an ever-changing world. Start of this year, Pastor gave us a theme. Not sure if you remember. He said, 2020, the dangers of shallow faith. We think of 2020. When somebody mentions 2020 to me today, it's like, wow, this 2020. It's something serious, something crazy. But I'm going to be turning into our text tonight, Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like you to go there, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity tonight to meet in your house and to gather in one accord. Heavenly Father, I pray for the person who does not know you tonight, even though you know each one intimately. I pray that as we hear your words, they would draw near to you as you draw near to them. I pray for the believers struggling to find footing in this ever-changing world, that he would stand firm in your love, and your word would, and your word says that you commended your love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to increase our faith. You told the disciples to, you would increase their faith, and he prayed for that. And I pray that you would be with us tonight. I pray you would build us up in the truth and love, which we'll be talking about. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you do in my life. Thank you for just bringing me to this position that what you want to be said tonight. And I'm so thankful for your saving grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My question tonight is, do you have a stable build? Do you have a stable build? We use that term a lot in web development. I have the great privilege to work on our cloud infrastructure. That means handling the servers, putting patches, putting updates, security, things of that nature. And anytime we feel like we have completed the application or put the code together and ship it out or deploy, Mike loves that word. That's a great word in the computer life. Deploy that to the server. That's what we call the build. It's a build. There are different versions of a build. Many of you guys use smartphones. You have your desktop apps, and there are different versions. Version 1, version 2. But when I say build tonight, I mean you. I mean me, 2.0. Our world is so busy. There's so much information that it's floating around. And it's demanding our attention. It takes such a concentrated effort just to be still. Do you find that? Come home from work and your mind is still going. Sometimes even when I'm sleeping, my mind is still churning. Keep moving on and on and on and on. This whole week has been so busy. All I can hear at home is ping, ping, ping. My kids have phones. My dogs don't have phones. And data is just moving back and forth. And as being in the web dev stuff, I tend to look at metrics a little bit more at my house. Our kids are, since they've been home, have been sucking the power. They've been draining our data bandwidth. They've just been on and on, moving and moving. And data is everywhere. Our attention can be driven in different directions, left and right, up and down. And the amount of information that is being produced in our world is mind-boggling. And I want to share with you some interesting stats. For every minute, we send 16 million text messages. There are 10,000 comments posted in Facebook in a minute. 3.5 billion searches in Google a day. More than a quarter of the world's 7 billion humans are active on Facebook. Let that sink in for a little bit. I'm not saying it's bad to be on Facebook or anything like that, but I just wanted to take a look at the information that we have. Each day, 95 million photos and videos are shared on Instagram. There are 45,778 Uber trips a day. And this is the most tremendous stat that has influenced our lives today positively and also negatively. Over the last 2 years alone, 90% of the data information in the world was generated. 90% in the last 2 years of the world's information have been generated. Well, what are you trying to say, Brother Andy? We better have a stable build with so much information in our lives. That's what I'm saying. When you have a lot of information, it's easy for confusion to set in. Easy for confusion to set in. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Hold in Ephesians, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. The Bible says, for God is not the author of what? Confusion. But of what? Peace. So important to understand that. I declare to you today that if you need peace in your life, Jesus is the answer. He's not the author of confusion, but we know who is. So as we look around our communities and nations today, and we look around, and we see all that the devil is doing, and we think, hey, it's happening just in 2020, you're mistaken. Since his fall, he's been devising ways to deceive and destroy. And I want to share with you today two elements that I believe will help you have a stable build in your life. Again, build you, me, wherever we are at this point in time. The devil is always at work from the beginning. I remember months ago, Brother Furman preached a wonderful message on a specific word in Genesis in the garden. He talked a little bit about the serpent, and he mentioned that word subtle. Subtle. So important we understand and be aware of how the devil works. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Peter 5:8. Just take notes for those for that verse. 1 Peter 5:8. The Bible says, be sober. Be what? Vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So important we understand that walking. I think there's a little subtleness there. I know the devil just strikes and devours, but also he's walking about. He has a little strategy. He's taking his time. He's looking around. And I believe today, he's definitely using technology and information as a weapon against God's people. If you ever watch Discovery Channel, I love Discovery Channel. I don't even know if they have Discovery Channel right now, do they? But anyway, they may be National Geographic or so, but I love it. And I only tune to the Discovery Channel to watch The Hunt. I don't want to see the flowers. I don't want to see anything else. I want to see the chase. And the lions are always moving about following the group of buffalo. They're huge. They're strong. They're big. And they're waiting for a chance to kill. But when the buffalo are unified, there's no chance for the lions. Interesting. We'll touch on that. All the buffalo are on the same page. But when fear sets in, what happens? The buffalo start to get unstable. Confusion sets in. And we all know who's the author of confusion. We just touched on that. And there's no clear direction. And then it happens. One or two buffalo set out for their own sense of stability, in which I call lunchtime, ultimately leading to their demise. I want to encourage you today on that true stability is only in Jesus Christ. And if you're thinking today about that word stability, the unity of the church is important. And the person, your personal relationship, Christ Jesus, is important. And in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul is in jail writing in church. And sometimes when I hear that Paul was in jail, I get taken back to know that Paul is encouraging Colossians, Ephesians, and he's in jail. How can he encourage someone from jail? I couldn't encourage anyone from jail. I'm trying to get out of jail. But he's there and he's encouraging them. Why? Because he has a peace of God. Peace of God. And Paul is in jail and he's writing to the church and he's giving the Ephesians a deep understanding of the unity of the church, which is important. We are one body in Christ. He then moves on to chapter 2 and he reminds them of the salvation that they have in Christ. Thank the Lord for our salvation. If you know the Lord, say amen. He goes back and he reminds them that they were dead in their trespasses and sin, but now are made alive in Christ. And he's building something here because the church at this time is in conflict. There's problems in the church. And he starts first to remind them of salvation and what God did in their lives and the power that is moving through them. And because they're going to need that to continue the next moment to be upgraded and have the maturity of Christ in their lives. And they need that. God saved us and that power is tremendous, but he's our day-to-day savior as well. And he's reminding them of that. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 that for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's wonderful. I'm so happy that I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and I put my faith in him. But if we look back at the theme that Pastor gave us is dangers of shallow faith. Faith doesn't just stand alone. It stands on who? Christ Jesus. And we have to be reminded of that. He moves on then in chapter 3 to spread the good news to the Gentiles and about that saving grace, and in magnitudes the love of God throughout. And the first element that I believe will help us to have a stable build tonight is standing firm in the Lord. If you would just turn to Ephesians chapter 4, this will be our text, verses 14 and 15. Paul says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they late wait to deceive. They lie in wait and wait to deceive. When Paul references children, I think we understand some reference points there. If there's instability, there's weakness, there's unlearned. You think of immature, not listening, undisciplined. Growing up as a child, my dad was a principal. And you can imagine, he was very hard on us. Between the hallways of our rooms, he would have a blackboard. And he would put the things that we needed to accomplish on Saturday mornings. Now listen, after 12 o'clock, you had all the time to enjoy the day. But in that morning, Mr. Bentley would let us know we had some work to do. Right, Raymond? He'd quickly run down and give us some information because he wants us also to hear the points, and also you have the notes on the blackboard to go back to. And before that, there was work to be done, obviously. And my dad was trying to teach us a sense of discipline. He wanted us to have maturity in our lives, not to take anything for granted and have some true responsibility. So my brothers and I would skim through the list, try to hurry up, get it done, so we can enjoy the day. But there was also a little phrase at the bottom that my dad would put, just to remind us. But as we weren't paying attention, as children do, we didn't catch it. It said in bold, "Who can't hear will feel." Now, when you read it, you don't just go over it. But if you don't read it, you'll find out what it means. When our dad checked over our work at the end of the day, he realized pretty quickly that we didn't do what we were told. Or we did, but there was little effort. He was disappointed more than anything. And on these two points, I want you to pick up tonight. We had the tools. The rake was there. The lawnmower was there. The broom was there. We had the resources. But for some reason, our immaturity got the better of us. Paul is saying, be no more children. Stand firm on the word of God. You're going to need it day by day. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We can't hold firm as Randy 2.0, that build, or my brother couldn't hold firm there with that build. It's not a stable build. We can't be immature as a child. But Randy in Christ, Joey in Christ, Jerry in Christ is a stable build. Stable. We can't stand firm if there's no truth to stand on. 1 Corinthians 15:58, if you can turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It's Bible study, so we're going Bible study. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My father was trying to teach us something, and Paul is trying to teach them something here. Don't be tossed about information on our lives, distraction. So many things the devil uses to get our attention away from what we need to do. And we got to be steadfast, unmovable, And we can't be like those two buffalo who just ran out for their own stability. Got to be unified in Christ. So important for that, to be learned, to be vigilant, to be disciplined, unmovable. Standing firm is totally dependent on what you're standing on. Not someone's opinion, not someone's blog post, not a media outlet or political party, but the everlasting, never changing Word of God. I'd urge you to write this verse down in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:10. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You can't have stability, true stability, without Lord Jesus. If stability and safe go hand in hand, when I'm working at night or somewhere, or I'm out or anywhere, and I get an alert that the server is having problems, first of all, working with technology is awesome, but at the same time, it's terrible. Information is great, makes us efficient in processes, helps us do our tasks, it helps us to give us data so we can make decisions. But when that thing doesn't work, it's terrible. I think I was at a an event at church, and I got a text, and it said, I think I was 92% of CPU was using, and I just kept getting errors, and I was like, oh no. Because it's not just I'm affected, the clients are affected, business is affected. And I had to jump in and kind of move through. And one of the problems with servers is that two big pieces is that security. The second is resources. Not everybody who visits the site is good. Sometimes we have foes. And the devil is, the Bible talks about, he's prowling, he's waiting, and he's looking for a time to strike. And Paul is reminding them and saying, listen, no, not as little children. You have to stand firm. And the only way you're going to do that is standing on the Christ, on Jesus Christ. And I think now, and as I'm growing, the maturity is so important. We need mature Christians today. We need our church to be mature in Christ for every action or thing we say or what we view. We have to be careful, very careful. I'm happy that there's safety in Jesus. The second element is truth in love. Two elements tonight: standing firm, and truth in love. Verse 15 says, "But speaking the what? Truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Sunday, Nick did such a wonderful job. And I remember him talking about Rabbi Zachariah, who just went home to the Lord. He's one of our great evangelists. Rabbi Zachariah said, if truth is not undergirded by love, it makes the possessor of that truth obnoxious and the truth repulsive. Paul is dealing with problems in the church. People. As Paul tries to unify the church in one body, he knows that there is going to be conflict with people. And we find that even in our church today, in all churches, there's problems with people. But Paul knew that if there was conflict between two people, and he can get both of those people right with the Lord, they would be right with each other. I think our focus should be bent on Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that we can't fight for injustice or those things, but it better not trump salvation that is offered to mankind. Can't trump that. Can't trump it. The problem sometimes is speaking truth with love, or vice versa. I'm speaking love, but I don't have any boldness to tell the truth. Think about that. We need love, but we definitely need truth. We need truth, but we definitely need love. That means our words and actions have to be honest. An old preacher said our relationship with others is a picture of our relationship with God. Powerful statement. How's your talk with your brethren? How's your latest post? How's your talk with your coworker? How's your talk with your children? The Bible says in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and he hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Powerful statement. I love the word of God. Takes away my opinion. Takes away my debate. Takes away my whatever. But God's word is a tower. It's strong, and it's safety. I have a project that I've been working on at home. I bought an old Jeep. Yep, that's where that stimulus money went. Bought an old Jeep, and I'm trying to take time to restore it. And I was telling my wife, I'm going to use this to spend a little bit more time with the boys, and that's partially true. And I needed a special part, and I called around everywhere I could think of to try to find this part. And with old cars, you got to look in special places. And a person said to me, a guy I was talking to said, there's one guy, Randy, that I think would have that part. And I said, okay. Gave him a call. He picked up the phone and said, howdy. I said, hello. He had a deep southern drawl. And I got to hear him a little bit and stuff, but he said he was down so-and-so, and I said, you know what, I'm going to come by. He said, sure. So I came up, drove down, and I came to the establishment, and I saw all these trucks and big trucks and bigger trucks, and I was like, wow, this is some serious place. So I walk into the front door, and he sees me, and he comes up. He says, what can I do you? I said, excuse me? How can I help you? I said, I'm Randy. Oh, Randy. Said, yeah, let me get him. He went back, and he got the parts, and he was showing me, and he was, like, educating me a little bit on what I needed. And he said, you know what, Randy? I think you're going to need to go and get that gear out so you can bring it so I can really tell you if I have the right part. And I said, oh, no. I got to actually work on the car. Yeah, it was a project, but that's, you know. And I went home. It's around 2 o'clock. I said, okay, no problem. I'll do it. I went home. I focused all day, and I got the part out. I was so excited. Lifted it up. And I called. It's around 7 p.m. now. So I took the whole day. And I called, and he picked up, and I said, hey, Kurt. Said, hey. He said, Randy? I said, yeah. I said, I got it. He said, okay. I said, when can I schedule time to come down? He said, I'm open right now. I said, man, it's like 7:45. I said, I'll be there. So I drive all the way down, and I get in. And he's at the back, and he's like, come on, come this way. And I'm like, okay. I see the pit bull looking at me like he wants to bite me, and I see deer. I see hogs. I see everything. And I walk through, and he says, you want to know about gears? I was like, sure. He says, grab that. And we grab, and He's working on it, and it's just awesome to see tools, big tools, and I was just excited. And he's pitching on to help. I'm helping, and I think I spent there for 2 hours. And then it started to click to me, is this going to cost me? And so we're finally finished up. I'm having the grandest time. I'm looking at the pictures. He does a lot of deer hunting and all this stuff. And I see the hogs, and I said, I love jerk pork. That's the only thing I could communicate. He said, great, you're Jamaican? I said, yeah, I was born in Jamaica. We started talking. He's telling me where he's from and stuff. I don't know if you can jerk the pork. It may taste a little gamey. But anyway, I had a ball. So I get to the register. He comes in, and he literally charged me nothing. And I was just so taken back. And I said, Kirk, I appreciate it. You sure it's more than that, right? It's like, no, man, we had a good time. And, you know, and I was so happy. He said, let me help you out with this stuff. He brings it out to me. And then he looks at me and he says, I may choke up on this. He says, you know what, Randy? People are using racism to divide us. I looked at him a little bit. And I said, yeah, I agree with that. I know it's the devil. And then I walk in and get in the car. We pack up. Didn't want to get in too much conversation with him on that point. And I was just like, let me just move on. So I drive up, and before I get to the light, I take a U-turn. And I come back to the shop, and he's outside. And I said, can I take a picture with you? He said, sure, I don't know anything about technology and all, but okay. And so we take a picture. And I'm going to be going there more and more. Now, I want to say something here. It's so important. Now, I know not everybody's like him. But I also know not everybody's like me. But Christian, we got to have a heart to love people. Got to have a heart to love people. I'm looking forward to talking to him. I'm looking forward to inviting him to church. I'm looking forward to just talking to people. Often when I'm impatient with people, it's evident how much time I'm spending with the Lord. We can't have a stable build if we're not standing firm in Christ. Learned, matured, vigilant, not as children, disciplined, unmovable in Christ. We also need to be speaking the truth in love. That means loving people as yourself, having compassion for others, understanding. So let me just try to recap. Paul brought them back to the point of salvation, for as they're getting into conflict, he reminds them of the power that saved them, but also lets them know that we have a Savior day by day. Yes, he saved us, and that power is tremendous. But that same power keeps us firm in Christ Jesus. Keep us focused. It gives a stable build. Important. He's basically reminding people that a stable build starts with knowing him first. Knowing him first. Maybe you're here today and you haven't put your faith in Christ Jesus. Starts with knowing him. When you know him, you love him. You grow. You're not 2.0. You're Randy in Christ. You're Joey in Christ. You're Reuben in Christ. And that build is a picture of righteousness. Not of myself, what God has done for me and how he works in me daily. He's our daily Savior. So important. Christian, maybe you're here today and you have been tossed to and fro. Maybe you need a little maturity in God's word. Maybe you need to take that in. Maybe you need to spend more time with him. So important that we are firm in the Lord Jesus. It's a stable build. And we're also have truth and love in our hearts. And how we deliver it is important. So important. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for everything that you do, the salvation that we have in you. Remember, you're on that cross and the thieves were bickering and one thief said, he didn't do anything wrong. We did. We're problematic. We have issues. Christ told that thief that today he'll be in paradise. He died for them. I look at Christ's life as through the Bible and I see just love. He always approaches it with love. And even when he was there with those den of thieves and he pushed off all that stuff in the temple, he went to the cross for them as well. So important, Lord, that we understand and grow in your word. But we have to know you. It starts with having a personal relationship with you. It starts with you. And so I ask you, Lord, that you would just move in our hearts at this moment. I pray if there's someone out there, Lord, that doesn't know you, I pray that they would understand that today is a day of salvation. Today, where they're sitting, they can come to know you. And I'm so thankful that you give us this opportunity. One man brought us into sin, Adam, but Christ took us out by putting our trust in him. I'm so thankful for that truth that gives us love, and that love that gives truth. Thank you, Christ, for everything you do in our lives. Be with us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Randy, for that powerful message tonight. Standing firm in truth and love, a stable build in ever-changing world. Thank you again. As we go home, let us stand and sing. His strength is perfect. It's 573 and our own strength. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. God bless you all. You are dismissed.